Woe to all who are at ease in Zion, on the Mississippi, or elsewhere. Dear friends in Christ, woe. Why? Why should the prophet proclaim woe to those who are at ease in Zion? If you're on the holy mountain of God, why shouldn't you feel at ease, free of care, anxious about nothing, perfectly content? What's woeful about being first among the nations, the people of God's own choosing, and notable, distinguished even within that already notable and distinguished group? We often say that we here want to be that place to which the whole house of Israel comes. Does that mean we should have a curse pronounced upon us? And what's wrong with enjoying the good things of this earth? Did they suddenly become off limits in the middle of the 8th century BC? Are they now? Are we no longer allowed to relax together and enjoy a good meal? To savor the blessings of field and orchard, pasture and vineyard? Aren't these blessings from the hand of God? Manifestations of his enduring love for us, his people? And has music suddenly stopped being worthy of the highest praise next to the word of God? Are certain instruments simply not to be tolerated, certain styles forbidden on Zion? Or is it just new compositions? And even more importantly, I am about to drink wine from the sacred vessel. Will it be for me a cup of woe? Is drinking deeply from this cup not a celebration of salvation, but instead a bout of self-indulgence? How are we to make sense of these words of the shepherd? How do we fit them into the story? Where do we locate something like this on the trajectory from creation to new creation? Surely now is not the time for grief and mourning, now that the creation is breaking in upon us and the foretaste of heaven fills our senses. Woe. Why? Well, because if we can make gods out of creatures, and if we can create stories, then we can make gods out of stories too. Because we can so shape and mold and craft our story that it becomes for us what it became for Jeroboam. A sanctuary from the voice of God, a mighty fortress against our God, a soundtrack that overpowers all the dialogue, a beguiling ballad composed of equal parts mantra, lullaby, and drinking song. Because we can so easily persuade ourselves that when we have what we want, what we have is heaven, or if you prefer, the new earth. Because even on Mount Zion, the couches can be just a little too comfy. Because even here, especially here, we can be just a little too much at ease, just a little too secure with the Lord, the God of hosts. Because even you and I, the most distinguished of the foremost of the nations, can become so attached to our story and to the God of our story that we wouldn't change our story even if someone came back from the dead and told us it was wrong? Can we possibly be getting the story wrong? Can we possibly be getting the story right if we're still not sick at heart and stomach over the ruin of Joseph? If the sorrow, the brokenness, the want, hunger, hate, loneliness, despair of a sister or brother don't cause us to grieve the way we would over the loss of a loved one. If Lazarus still languishes invisibly at the foot of our table, if our home of peace and plenty and love extends no further than our nation, our synod, our campus, our living room, myself. Given our penchant for turning his story into our story, into a story that fluffs up the cushions and adds another ivory inlay or two to the couch, that makes us feel safe and secure in the presence of the commander of the forces of heaven, that turns the sacred into the self-congratulatory and blessing into boast and reverence into revelry. Given this penchant of ours, how can we end up other than first in all things, even first in exile? There is a voice, a still, small, strong, mighty voice that will have the floor, that will be heard above the din of our new compositions and of our ancient revelry. There is a voice that interrupts the story, a voice that cries not only woe, W-O-E, in thundering judgment, but woe, W-H-O-A, in reverberating mercy. Woe to all you at ease in Zion, the voice cries. Woe to you who boast in the security of your position, the strength of your tradition, the length of your tenure, the breadth of your dominion. Woe, stop, look. Woe to you so busy improvising that you have lost the tune, forgotten your way back into the divine melody. Woe, stop, silence. Woe to you so eager to lead that you have made of leadership itself a virtue. Woe to you who are so happy to be at the head of the line that you haven't even looked up to see where the line is heading. Woe to all you storytellers of Zion and Samaria. Woe. Stop. Silence. Listen. Hear this voice and turn and live. Hear the word that interrupts, that shatters, and that repairs our stories. You know he brought up Israel from the land of Egypt, but have you forgotten that he brought up the Philistines from Kaphtor and the Syrians from Kir? Have you forgotten that the Lord who raises up kingdoms also destroys them from the surface of the ground until not one stone is left upon another? You who drape yourselves so gloriously around the banquet table, storying to yourselves and those with you that the banquet has begun. Who cares if the crowd is small? That means more for the rest of us who are here. Well, lay down your steak knives, stop chewing, and hear the voice whispering in your ears, "Happy is that servant whom his master finds at work when he suddenly returns." And you there, gripping the sacred bowl with both hands, stop. Don't even swallow. Hear the voice that says, "This is my blood poured out for you." Work that into your story if you dare. Dear friends, we gather here this morning not as sheep without a shepherd, not as those who know not their shepherd's voice. We stand under no prophetic curse, but absolved by the voice of the great storyteller himself, the one who has written and rewritten anew the story that holds us all. This tiny episode from the prophet Amos will never merit being singled out for special mention when we tell the great story. But the warnings of the prophet are no less meant for our ears because of that. We who can turn even the absolution of God Almighty into a message of ease and complacency, we especially need these strange and hard words of the prophet to break the enchantment of our own stories upon us. Stories, we have been reminded, are, after all, just stories, unless they bring us to repentance and forgiveness. There is but one hope, the beloved Son. Listen to him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.